May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 9. Awake, my soul, in joyful lays, and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, O how free. Number 9.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, the book of Job, chapter 23. Job 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his step. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, and neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Now please turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50. Isaiah, chapter 50. Thus saith the Lord, "Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold your iniquities. Have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away? Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers of a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us in prayer. Kind and gracious Lord God, once again thy goodness and mercy is lengthened out to us each, and we're favoured to come into thy court in the morning of another Sabbath day. And dear Lord, we desire indeed to enter into thy court with praise. Indeed, Lord, we've sung in our opening hymn, Lord, of thy loving kindness, of thy goodness and mercy. Oh, that lengthened out unto us each. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy kindness and goodness to us through another week of time, yea, throughout our lives, that our every need has been supplied. We've been blessed with health and strength, use of natural faculties, our food and water, Lord, and many comforts that we have. And we desire, Lord, to humbly thank thee for all thy kindness and goodness. But dear Lord, thy mercies do not stop at the things of providence. Blessed be thy name. Lord, we have the house of God, we have an open Bible, with a preaching of the gospel. And dear Lord Jesus, thou thyself did say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear Lord, it's our desire, our request, and our petition now, Lord, that we may each be found amongst that number, whosoever. We certainly feel, Lord, to be unworthy at the least of all thy notice and of all thy mercies. But Lord, we come and plead the name, the merits, and the blood, and righteousness, and the finished work of the blessed Saviour and Redeemer, who came to this earth to suffer, bleed and die, and make a way whereby poor sinners may approach unto God through Christ, that new and living way. Then, Lord, that's how we desire to come now and plead then the blood that does for sin atone, the blood whereby the Church of God is freed. We pray then that thou help us. Dear Lord, thou knowest just how each one comes, and we ask, Lord, that thou be gracious and meet with us and bless us indeed. But Lord, thou knowest those that come may be crying out like the psalmist, show me a token for God. Or like the harlot Rahab crying out, give me a true token. Oh, the witness that I am thy child, that I am born again, that I am made right in and through the righteousness of Jesus. Lord, these are the things, the requests, the petitions that go on in our hearts. Praying then that thou art be gracious to us and meet with us. We do ask and seek, dear Lord, that thou art remember each and all. Our Lord, and may it be, Lord, at the end of the day, no one feels to have been sent empty away. Oh, that there may indeed be, Lord, even just a crumb of mercy from the Master's table. Lord, that poor sinners may eat and be filled and satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Then, gracious Lord, do hear our prayer. But dear Lord, thou hast promised that thy people shall be satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Then may there be this day a portion for 7 and also for 8, and may none be left out. Maybe, Lord, one comes with nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling, naked come to thee for dress, and helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. O gracious Lord, do hear such prayer, such requests, such petitions, and grant, dear Lord, thy blessing in their souls. Lord, they may have come up to the house of God, Lord, with their head hung down like a bulrush. But, dear Lord, may they go home, Lord, like the hymn we have sung of his loving kindness. We pray then, dear Lord, that thou be very gracious and be near us this day. Undertake. Now pardon, Lord, our every sin, forgive every iniquity. Lord, we have such a large catalogue of sin. Lord, we hang our head in shame because of our sin. Lord, but we plead that thou art in thy mercy forgive. Dear Lord, we have that blessed word written by dear John, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thou knowest, Lord, we have much unrighteousness, much sin then. But dear Lord, may we know true godly sorrow and repentance, that needs not to be repented of. May we know the prayer of the publican, the smiting on the breast, and the pleading for mercy, and that we may know the words of Jesus, thy sins are all forgiven thee. Then hear prayer, Lord. Oh, dear Lord, do grant answers of peace and of love and of mercy to poor dying sinners. Sinners that come to thy house with a request, hungering, thirsting after righteousness, mourning over their sin and iniquity. O dear Lord, may I a mourner be over my sins and after thee, and when my mourning days are all, be with thee for evermore. Lord, we cannot bear that piercing thought without our name. If any name here, Lord, assembled in this house of God this morning should be left out when thou for them shalt call, then prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, our hiding place in this, the accepted day. Gracious Lord, hear prayer, so that, Lord, each then sing the loudest to thy praise and thy glory. Now, Lord, do help us to pray for this little church and congregation. Do bless them together. Oh, be very near to them, be gracious to them, favour them, and make known thy love and mercy to their souls. Oh, may there be, Lord, those, Lord, that have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. May there be seeking souls amongst them. May there be souls that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Then be near, dear Lord. We pray for our friends here that hold office, undertake for them in all their burdens, cares and anxieties and responsibilities, the things that concern them regarding this house of God, and each church member also, and every member of the congregation. Lord, do be with each and all. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt hear prayer, that there may be many sinners round to come and fill the place. But dear Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, sinners will say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Pray for the children, the little ones, Lord. They each have an ever-dying soul. We ask thee to be gracious to them each, and remember them. Oh, dear Lord, do graciously work in their hearts, favour their souls, bless them indeed. And those that are growing up, Lord, and some of them, Lord, further places of education, whether it's other colleges or university, we pray that thou wilt help them each, grant them success. But dear Lord, we do pray above all that thou wilt bless their souls, Lord, that they may be found seeking those things which are above, that Christ may be first and Christ may be last in their lives. Then be gracious to them. We ask thee, dear Lord, remember the afflicted of thy people. There may be, and there are those here, Lord, that have their afflictions. We pray thou wilt put thy hand and do heal and do restore, do hold them up, do appear to them and for them. Oh, Lord, do bless means used to their recovery, we pray. Remember all that mourn, those that have lost near and dear ones, whether it's their dear one or whether it's mother, father, brother, sister, sometimes a child, undertake for each and all. And now is, Lord, all the reasons, Lord, for the darkness, the mourning, the distress, appear for them. And then, Lord, there are those who are in deep troubles. Ah, Lord, we pray that thou remember. Lord, do make some of those crooked things straight and those rough places plain. Sometimes, Lord, there's trouble, Lord, in the family, sometimes in the church, sometimes in the workplace, sometimes in relationships, Lord, whatever it may be. Oh, dear Lord, do make those crooked things straight. Oh, make the rough places plain. bring down the great mountains of impossibility. Make a way for them. Oh, dear Lord, do mercifully appear. Oh, and Lord, let not the adversary of souls triumph, we pray. Dear Lord, it's a sad day, and the adversary, Lord, seems, Lord, to be gaining the upper hand, but we know, Lord, he cannot gain and he will not gain. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and oh, how thankful we are for that. Then hear prayer and do appear for thy people, we pray. And now help us to pray for others, there's prodigals, Lord, and sadly we all got them in our family circle. Pray thou would have mercy upon them, bring them back, oh Lord. And dear Lord, whilst they may think and feel that they've finished with chapel going, finished with religion, finished with their Bibles, finished with God, dear Lord, we pray thou would let them know that thou hast not finished with them. Oh, snatch them as brands from the burning and make them trophies of grace. Hear prayer. Prayer for others, Lord, that are in need and poverty and famine in this poor, dying world. Be appear to them and make thy goodness pass before them. Bring peace in this troubled world. Our nation also needs much prayer. Our Prime Minister and the members of the government, oh, that thou wilt govern them as they govern us. Overturn their evil designs. Frustrate their intentions. Knowest, Lord, they would and will, if they are left to have their own way. Lord, rewrite the definition of marriage. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt not allow them to do it. And Lord, and there's many things, Lord, that trouble thy people regarding, Lord, those that rule and reign over us. And Lord, and the office of Archbishop becomes vacant at the end of the year. And Lord, we ask thee that there may be a man of God that fears thy name appointed to that office. Hear us, help us, and be with us. Then be with us now. We need thy help, Lord. We're only a poor man. But dear Lord, thou hast said thou art. He stands by the right hand of the poor. May we prove it so this day. Then do come. Fulfill then thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. So we plead, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Hymn 687. Ye broken hearts all, who cry out unclean, and taste of the gall of indwelling sin, lamenting it truly, and loathing it too, and seeking help duly, as sinners must do. 687.
Thank you.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord, for all needed help. I ask Your very prayerful attention to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50 and the 10th verse. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. The dear prophet here shows us in the earlier part of the chapter the cause of the Jews' problem, their iniquity, and says to them that your iniquities, you sold yourselves, and for your transgression is your mother put away. These are, of course, a figure of speech. But to come down to this text, why, what a wonderful blessing this is. And yet, we see here the path that many a child of God has to walk and pass through. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? Why, and we turn back again here to the book of Job. And what is it we read? The first verse in the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. This is the blessed witness of God. This is the witness of heaven, that here was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And yet, Job comes into deep, deep trouble. One thinks of the word, I think it's found here in the 11th Psalm, that the Lord trieth the righteous. Yeah, the Lord trieth the righteous. Fifth verse of the 11th Psalm. And so he does. And he tries them, and you say they fear God, they obey His voice, and yet they walk in darkness. They walk in darkness. And poor dear Job, he walked in darkness. We must remember that God is a sovereign in all His dealings with all His people. Throughout the Word of God, we read and see the sovereignty of God in the work of one and another. And Job is one where we see the Lord allow Satan to try Job, to tempt Job. And poor Job, why, we read elsewhere, do we not? Oh, the patience of Job. But, you know, poor Job, he had to go right down into the very depths, did he not? Yes, he's got cattle, sheep, camels and so on. And all this was taken away. His sons and daughters all taken away. Yes, all in one night. And why? And here in the 22nd chapter of Job, there's one of his friends, Eliphaz. And he's trying to help Job, but he's not making a very wonderful job of it. And he says, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, whereby good shall come unto thee. That's Job 22, verse 21. But then, you see, where we read Job 23, he answered, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. And here expresses what many a child of God express. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even unto his seat. It's very noticeable, is it not, that Job, why, he wanted the Lord. He walked in darkness. He feared God, but he walked in darkness. And, oh, friends, and it may be, I don't know, the secret exercises of anyone in here at this Lord's Day morning. But it may be, poor soul, that you are being harassed, tormented, devil hunted, devil dragged, the devil constantly at your elbow. Yes, and there are days of darkness and distress. You're harassed, you're tormented. Oh, but your prayer is with Job. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Yes, he lost his sons, he lost his daughters, he lost his camels, his sheep, his oxen, and so on. But he didn't say, where me camels, Lord? Where's me sons? Where me daughters? No, it's, oh, that I knew where I might find him. This, oh, is this your prayer, your desire, your burden this Lord's Day morning? Yes, are these, yes, that who is among you that feareth the Lord, obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Well, poor Job, yes, this, all, and it's poor any dear soul that walks in such paths. It's, oh, that I knew. Oh, that I knew where. You know, the dear Apostle Paul, why, he writes to us, does he not, in Philippians 3. Why, and there, this is desire, that I may know him. That I may know him. Is our, say, Paul and Job, here, very close together. They want to know him. Is our, and can you mingle your petitions here at the same this Lord Day morning? Yes, walking in darkness. Yes, is our, there were the former days. Job knew former days, did he not? He knew days when he could have union, communion with God. When he prayed. When he found access at the throne of grace. But things are different. Oh, things are different. God has hidden his face. And, oh, and this, sometimes, God's people still today know what it is for to walk in a path whereby it seems God has hid his face. There's no light. There's no access. Why, dear folks, oh, yes, you know what it was in time past. You went, yes, you had your family altar, morning and evening sacrifice. But there were those other times, were there not? Sometimes during the course of the day, you knew what it was to turn aside and to ask God to help and to assist. Oh, and how sometimes you prayed that when I come up next time to the house of God, that there might be some blessing for my soul. But now, why, it all seems so hard. And it all seems so formal. It just seems to be a form of words. The words do not seem to go any further than your lips. They don't seem to enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth. And it's, this it's an emergency, is it not? Oh, and it's urgent. Lord, mine's an urgent pressing case. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Well, let's look a little. Say, why, dear Job, I would order my cause before him. I would know the words he would answer me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would strengthen me. See, there was some trust. Ah, yes, dear soul, there was trust. Trusting in his God. His confidence was alone in him. Although it's dark and though it's distressful, the Lord is still, yes, the Lord would put strength in him. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. But then he goes on, comes into this experience. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Ah, friends, you know what it is to go forward, backward. He enlarges on the right, on the left hand, where he doth work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Why, I would like to look at that in this way, or suggest this way to you. On the left hand, on, yes, and in and on the path of providence. Why, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And on the right hand, why, he hideth himself on the right hand. Those things of grace concerning my never dying soul. Those things that I hear the sound of the truth of the gospel in the house of God, but there is nothing. But I cannot see him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. But then, dear soul, you see where dear Job comes. Yes. Hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his guard. But, dear soul, can you come in here? With all your troubles, your trials, your distresses, your perplexities. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified, bettered by the cross. Knoweth the way. When he hath tried me. Job knows. Job realizes. That he is in, still in. That he's still in. And so are you, dear soul, still in the hand of God. When he hath tried me, I shall. I shall come forth as gold when it tried me. I shall come forth as gold, pure, undefiled, forgiven, blessed, singing his praise. Why, yes, what was the verse 10? His loving kind, in here my soul has always stood. His loving kindness, oh, how good. Gold, tried. Walketh in darkness, and hath no light. Why? I don't know how many of you have know what it is to put any metal into a furnace to see it melt. I've had a little experience with lead. And it is a really, really amazing. This is just lead. Ever the same thing is of gold and of silver. Why, the furnace is there, and yes, and it heats that metal up, and it melts, and then there's this crust, as it were, on the top of it. Yes, the dross, and you take it off with a spoon, and you leave it, and half an hour later, you can go back and you can remove some more. And it can go on. But yes, dear soul, you know, you mustn't have that furnace too hot. Because it will ruin the lead. It will ruin the gold. It will ruin the silver. Dear soul, and our dear Lord, our blessed Saviour, our glorious Redeemer, our great God. Why, dear soul, yes, dear soul, he won't put you in a furnace that's too hot to destroy. No. He'll bring it, to bring forth as pure gold. Say, the longer, dear soul, that furnace is there, is why the more, you know, this dross keeps coming to the surface. And it's removed. And until, dear soul, it's pure. And, dear soul, and when it's pure, and when the gold, the silver is there, why, the goldsmith, the locksmith, dear soul, our blessed God, our blessed Lord. Why, when, yes, the goldsmith can see the reflection in that molten metal of his own image, see his face in that molten gold, then he knows that the furnace has done its work. And so, dear soul, our blessed Lord. Yes, and it brings us, dear soul, to this test. To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due season. We may wonder, we may question. You, dear soul, and I, we often say, why? Yes, why is this trial so long? Dear soul, is because the furnace has not yet done its work. Solemn thought, isn't it? When, desire to realise that there is still more impurities within us that's got to be brought out and dealt with. Yes, but dear Job, but, you know, it just comes to mind something else here about dear Job, isn't there? in the 19th chapter. Why? Yes, a poor man is in darkness. There is he not. Chapter 19 of Job. He says this. He, the Lord, hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths. Is it true, poor soul? Is that where you are this morning? Dear soul, dear Job, you read down this 19th chapter. Boy, he says here to his friends, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Do we know what it is for the hand of God to touch us? Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? And then he goes on to say this. Say, he walks in darkness. He has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. He says this. Oh, that my word were now written. Oh, that it were printed in a book. That it were graven with a pen of iron and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me, whom I shall see for myself. Who is among you that feareth God, that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Why, perhaps we began at the wrong place. But you say, who is among you that feareth the Lord? That feareth the Lord. That walketh in darkness. Well, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. The book of remembrance is written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. And they shall be. Dear soul, the certainty of this blessed word, they shall be. There are some wonderful characters in the Word of God that shine forth of those that feared God. And I think those two Hebrew women in the book of the Exodus. Why? And say there was this Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And why that says to his people, let us deal wisely with them. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them out of the land. No. So you say, he makes this edict, does he not? Yes, but the more they afflicted, the more they afflicted, the more they multiplied and grow. And why, you say, they had to make bricks, didn't they? And they didn't give them the straw. And why, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives and said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stalls, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Then you've got the next verse. But the midwives feared God. Is this fear of God in your heart and mine? Yes, the law was that these children should be slain. But God doesn't command it that way, does he? No. The midwives feared God. They will not go beyond. They will not go beyond the command and precepts of God. Whether if the law has been passed by Pharaoh or any other king, they will not go beyond it. Oh, they feared God. But I think one of the greatest evidences of the fear of God is that dear man that we read of in the Acts of the Apostles, Cornelius, the leader of the Italian band, and one that feared God and prayed to God always. And prayed to God always. Oh, friends, the always is very important, isn't it? It doesn't read and pray to God sometimes. No. Pray to God always. Do we come then within the compass of the word of they that feared the Lord? And here, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Do we pray to God always? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, there's others, yes, that feared God, but why, they weren't kept in that gracious exercise. And friends, and it's very easy for you and I to look at one and another. Yes. And say, well, if they feared God, they wouldn't do this, that, or something else. But dear soul, we need to look at ourselves. We do. David feared God, but look what he did. Jonah feared God and runs away from God. And again, why Jonah's disobedient. He's not obeying the voice of the Lord, is he? No. But he walked in darkness. What do we read here in Psalm 107? Just down here, after the first paragraph, ending, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." That's verse 8. Verse 9. for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Satisfieth the longing soul, filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness. But there's a reason. And it may be this reason is the reason why some of you here this morning walk in darkness. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Yes. Satisfy the longing soul, filleth us hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness, the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contend the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labour, they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Yes. Why, that could be said of Jonah, could it not? He walked in darkness because he rebelled. He feared God, but he rebelled. How many here this morning rebel against God? I'm not talking about open rebellion. I'm not talking about that rebellion in your heart, sinner. That rebellion that says, I don't want to do this. That rebellion that says, I'm not going to do this. Jonah wasn't going to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's determined he wasn't going to Nineveh. And he went and bought a ticket to Tarshish. Short story, they cast Jonah into the sea, and God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was there for 3 days and nights. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And Jonah says, I will look once more toward thy holy temple. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. And he saved them out of their distresses. Jonah goes to Nineveh to preach. Dear soul, and are you going to go and say, come, all ye that fear God, and I'll declare what I have done for my soul? Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise are fulfilled. Yes, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Why, dear soul, we were saying about Cornelius. He prayed to God always. Jonah didn't pray always, did he? He didn't pray always.
prayer is the weapon of the feeble and weakest souls can wield it best. It is our said that will be this committing of our way unto the Lord. There'll be this old trusting in Him. To know no will but His. Yes. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? This gracious fear of God. This fear that fears to offend divine holy majesty. That's what it is. To offend divine holy majesty. It is our, why, this come to mind, why Elijah, wasn't it? He asked, who was on the Lord's side? No, I've not quoted that correct. But Elijah. Why, Israel sinned. They've gone after the gods of the heathen. But Elijah came and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word, and neither will you, poor soul? Neither will you. You know who the true and the living God is. Yeah. And how long halt ye between two opinions? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? That walketh in darkness. Yes, dear soul. Why a darkness. Oh, darkness and distress of mind. And very often, dear soul, because of our disobedience. The words are very, very easy to say. Thy will be done. But they're not always easy to carry out. No, they're not always easy to carry out. Who is among you? That feareth the Lord, that walketh, obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness. Well, you turn over here. Back here in the book of Genesis. And here is indeed, Abraham. And here he's being granted this son, this heir, Isaac. His only son. And yet, here this owl, you see, he walks in darkness. He has obeyed God's voice. And the Lord, what's it read? That God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. God knew that Abraham loved his son Isaac. Whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Ah, yes. than they that feared the Lord. Amen. And when that fear of God is found in gracious exercise in your heart and mind, there will be, as it was here with dear Abraham, a complying to the word, to the command of God. And Abraham rose up. So different, wasn't it, from Jonah? Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach. Neither of them had an easy task to fulfill, did they? Why, Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, Jonah to go to Nineveh. Why, imagine being asked to go to communist China or Red Square Russia and stand there and preach the gospel of Christ. Why, we'd shrink from it, would we not? This is the test. This is the test. But if ye love me, keep my commandments. And Abraham rose up, took his two servants, the young man, lad, and Isaac, the wood for a burnt offering, rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Third day. So there's 3 days' journey. Walking. Yes. Well, there's an ass, yes. But the servants here assumably were not walking, were walking, not on an ass. And here they are. After 3 days, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And now you say a little Abraham's trust in the name of the Lord and staying upon his God. And Abraham said to the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And come again to you. Why, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, what a mercy to find blessed trust in God. Well, you say, Isaac says, Father, here am I, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Yes, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? That must have been a very trying, dark, difficult path for poor dear Abraham to walk, mustn't it? Here's his son, his lad, this promised son, and now he's to go and offer him for a burnt offering. But, friends, the Lord appeared. Yeah. You know, cannot think exactly where it is, but I believe it's in Leviticus. And it reads, the Lord will appear. And dear soul, if you're in darkness this morning, the Lord will appear. What does the dear hymn writer say to us here? In this lovely hymn is written by Samuel Medley. Why, he says this in hymn 321, my soul, Lord, inflamed with zeal from above, I pray to proclaim and sing of thy love, to lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. But he goes on, why I have, as I say, when left in the dark of life, not a beam of love, not a spark. And though thus in pain of an evidence clear, I can't wait in vain, for the Lord will appear. My fears sometimes say I never shall find in death's awful day true peace in my mind. But though thus surrounded, yet when I come there, I cannot be confounded. The Lord will appear, my dust he will raise, and glory he'll give, and I to his praise in heaven shall live, and there and to me forever the Lord will appear. I close the book too soon. Ah, yes, my dust he'll raise, and glory he'll give, and I to his praise in heaven shall live, and there he will deliver my soul more fear, and to me forever the Lord will appear. And say my soul, why not for thee? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £605, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Field hopes to address the Sunday school this afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting followed by a church meeting tomorrow evening, and it is hoped Mr. Broom will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, preceded by a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, unbosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. 627.
Thank you.
be with us now. Help us through the remainder of the day. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.